This episode of the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast is brought to you by Signorama Louisville East, your total project management sign company, and by the City of Jeffersontown.
Buy, boost, and build. Those are the Jeffersontown Chamber's founding principles. The Chamber and the City of Jeffersontown work to make J-Town a great place to live, work, and play. Welcome to the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast. Now let's get into the show and hear what's going on in our great community. Here's your host, Rick Redding.
And welcome back to the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast. This is your host, Rick Redding, doing this show for the 16th time, talking about the great city of J-Town and the Chamber, which has been connecting businesses since 1963. That's right up there at the top of the J-Town Chamber Facebook page, which is a great place to go to check out a lot of the things that are going on in the city. Now, on this show, we always have two guests that are being interviewed, and we got some great guests this week. A lot of things that maybe you don't know are going on that have connections to J-Town, but they certainly do. My first guest is going to be Diane Merzweiler, who is in charge over the Down Syndrome of Louisville offices. It's right there on Hurstbourne Parkway between Bardstown Road and Watterson Trail. It's a fantastic new building. I think she told me it's about 5 years old, and they are doing some tremendous work. I was fortunate enough to get a little tour of the place. If you go onto the Chamber website, you'll see a picture of Diana Merzweiler with some of the young folks over at the Down Syndrome Center. They have Down Syndrome, but they are doing their best to have great lives over there and really enhance the lives of people who unfortunately have Down Syndrome. But it's a really great, heartwarming story, and I hope you'll stay tuned and listen to my conversation with Diana Merzweiler. In the second interview of the show, of course, is a name that's familiar to people who've been following the news in Louisville for a while. It is Sadiqua Reynolds. She has been a judge in this town. She was a part of Mayor Fisher's staff for several years, and she is now president of the Louisville Urban League. And I encourage you I didn't know. I went down there to 15th and Broadway and learned a lot about what's going on with the Urban League, and Sadiq was very welcoming and talking about the upcoming event, which is a job fair that's coming to the community center. I think the date is the 29th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you know, really, this is a great thing for businesses looking for workers to come and meet. I understand there are a lot of folks that come out to this. This isn't the first time they've had this. And this job fair is going to take place. Sadiq was sort of in charge of it, and she is loves her job. You'll hear that she talks about this being her dream job, to be president of the Louisville Urban League. You can check out what they're doing at lul.org. That's the website for the Louisville Urban League. They're getting involved in a lot of ways to help people not only find jobs, but to get past problems and live their lives successfully right here in Louisville, KY. Now, also, I want to mention the website for the Down Syndrome. It's downsyndromeoflouisville.org. And, you know, certainly check out what's going on with those folks. That is a really, really exciting event they're having. The golf tournament coming up, and then they have another walk in the fall. It's really cool. So anyway, I wanted to move on and tell you about our sponsor of this show. This show is made possible because we have the support of the City of Jeffersontown and Metro and the government there, but also from our friends at Signorama Louisville East. And that's our good friend Lloyd over there at Signorama. He does a fantastic job. The number over there is 502-454-4321. It's right there on Bluegrass Parkway, and they do everything from vehicle graphics to outdoor signage to trade show banners, anything like that you need for your business. Give old Lloyd a call at 502-454-4321. You'll probably see Lloyd if you show up at any of our J-Town Chamber events. He's a great ambassador for the city, and really appreciate his support of this show. All right, so a lot to talk about this week in terms of things going on in J-Town. You know, the chamber has these ribbon cuttings for new businesses or new openings in the city. And I encourage you to go out to some of these. Some of these are really fun. Thursday at 10:30, there's a new Edward Jones office opening up. Leanne Parker is the agent there, and that's over on, I believe it's on Bunsen Parkway. And then there's a pretty cool one Friday at 4 o'clock. Now, Friday at 4 o'clock, you're going to have a ribbon cutting. You know, there's one thing you better have on hand, and that is beer. And the folks at Element 502 are having a ribbon cutting, and the folks from Third Turn Brewing are supplying the beer. It's over on Daventry Lane. So I encourage you to that's a marketing and advertising firm, Element 502. Used to be called SA Interactive. So that should be a very exciting event for those of you who want to go out and meet the folks at Element 502. Also, next week, the L&N Federal Credit Union is opening a new branch up in the Tyler Center. You know, that's where the Kroger is out there on Taylorsville Road at the Gene Snyder. So those are big events coming up. A week from Wednesday is not only the job fair up at the Community Center, but also the It is also the Business Blast. It's going to be held at Johnny V's this time, which is a great thing, right down there in the square in J-Town. So put those things on your calendar. Those are all cool things that are coming up you can participate in. You might see me at a few of those events. Certainly you'll see John Cosby, the president of the chamber, who's been who's on the show last week. And one last thing before we get into the interviews, I'm going to have the mayor, Bill Dourif, is on in the middle of the show. Now, those of you that are close watchers of the show, close listeners of the show, may recognize this episode of Ask the Mayor with Mayor Bill Dourif, but it's one that I thought was very important. It is about the city's plans for bike lanes and transportation to and from and getting to and from, like the new parks at Parklands. I think you'll want to hear what's in store. It's really interesting and good news from the mayor. Of course. So it's a full show. It should be a very exciting time. I hope that we can entertain you for 30 minutes or so with the Jefferson Town Chamber podcast. We're the only chamber in the country that we know of that has its own podcast, and we originate right here in Jefferson Town, Kentucky, a great place to work, play, and live. So let's get on with the show. First up is the interview out at the Down Syndrome of Louisville, followed by the mayor, and then we'll hear from Sadiqua Reynolds.
This episode of the Jefferson Town Chamber Podcast is sponsored by Signorama Louisville East and the City of Jefferson Town.
And today, the J-Town Podcast originates from the Down Syndrome headquarters on Hurstbourne Parkway. Down Syndrome is a proud five-year member of the J-Town Chamber. I'm with Diana Merzweiler. And Diana, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate you inviting me.
I know it's an exciting time here at the Down Syndrome. I know this facility's been here 5 years. You guys have been members of the chamber for 5 years, and you're coming into a couple of really big events, big fundraisers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Our organization is actually 35 years old, and of course, one of the ways that we continue to grow is through two of our major events, and one being right around the corner on June 27th at Audubon Country Club. It's a really neat event in the morning. We start out with our junior tournament. Our members with Down syndrome, they play a couple holes of golf with our celebrities and our pros.
Oh, wow.
And then they have their awards ceremony, our Boogie Down dance team, which, you know, comprises of our very talented members. They perform. And then they get to cool off in the pool, and they have a swim party afterwards.
Oh, wow. So then, sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. So then in the meantime, I call it my three-ring circus. So then in the other venue, we're welcoming our corporate golfers in, and they're enjoying a nice lunch. It's a shotgun start at 1 o'clock. So we get our golfers out on the course. Then in the meantime, my great volunteers, they're working to get our auction ready inside at the country club. Wow. We do a cocktail, a nice buffet that starts at 6, and we still have tickets for that, by the way.
Tickets are available. Okay,
that's
how
right.
How much costs for all that? Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, just for the cocktail party alone is $75, but if you want to get some exposure, you can still do a whole sponsor. My sign guy is very accommodating. We can still get signs made. So for $250, you get exposure on the golf course to over 30, you know, corporate teams, which, you know, that's great business. Plus, you get 6 tickets to the cocktail party.
Okay. So you get to play golf too with that?
Not for the $250. The golf for a foursome is $2,500.
Okay.
So, this year at our event, we are honoring the voice of the Cards, Mr. Paul Rogers.
Oh, wow.
From WHAS Radio. And he has been a participant in our tournament. Oh, my gosh, probably from the inception, at least 20 years. He's out there every year, and he loves renewing the friendship with our members with Down syndrome. So we're really, really tickled to honor him this year.
Well, great. It's so appropriate. We're here in the U of L Cardinal Room.
That's right.
Nice facility here.
That's right.
I'm sure it's going to be great to have Paul out. You have some other celebrities that come?
Oh, we do. We have, folks from the U of L football team. In fact, some of their players are going to be coming out and playing in the junior tournament. We do have some folks from UK, like Mike Pratt, those individuals. We're also hoping to see Derek Anderson. He is indicating his schedule is going to be available. And then the local pros at from some of the other golf courses always come out as well. So, yeah, it's a fun day.
For folks who don't know, the Down syndrome out here on Hirschburn Parkway, and you are the executive director here. You're in charge, and you came to this position in a unique way, or you've got a great story to tell, I think.
I do. Well, everybody, in fact, I just had volunteer orientation last night, and the way we start our orientation, I always ask our new volunteers, what brought you to the organization? And so what brought me to the organization is this delightful young man named Justin. He was our first grandson, and we learned early that my daughter was going to have Justin, and he was going to have Down syndrome. And I'll never forget the day he was born. We were just like any other family. We knew a little bit about Down syndrome, mainly from the TV show. Corky was this character. This was about 20 years ago, I think, when the show was aired. But I distinctly remember our job that day, because we knew he was going to have to go to the NIC unit for a few days, was to walk him over the pedway while my daughter was, you know, finishing up the whatever had to happen with her. And my husband and I looked down that incubator, and we both looked at each other, and we're like, all we see is this beautiful little boy with all this beautiful hair. We said, where is the Down syndrome?
Yeah.
And so from that point on, that's the way we have viewed our Justin. He is, you know, one of the gang. And at the time, I was working for a large bank, and I helped out with a golf tournament as a volunteer. And then about 6 months later, the organization was looking for someone full-time to help grow the organization, and I just jumped at the chance. So here I've been 16 years. This will be my actually 16th tournament.
How's Justin doing it?
Oh, he's doing great. In fact, we, along with a multitude of programs, summer is a really busy time. He is at our summer camp that we sponsor. It's a local camp, Camp Without Walls, where our teenagers, in conjunction with another nonprofit, Dreams with Wings, they go out in vans all day long. In fact, yesterday they were at the Bats game. Today they're going swimming. Next week they're going to do a shopping extravaganza, learn some skills. So, yeah, he's doing great. And,
sounds like a lot of great
stuff. We're very proud of him.
So for people, I might be in the same category as you. You know, you know a little bit about Down syndrome, but not really what the disease is all about, how it affects people. Give me a little background on,
sure,
on what it actually is and how much of a how it restricts activities for
people. Down syndrome is a genetic condition, and science is that the majority of our members have an extra chromosome at the 21st pair. It's something that occurs at inception. Research has still not discovered what the catalyst is, but what we do know, it's not anything environmentally. There is only one version that can be, a family member could have a carrier like two or three generations mm-hmm. back, but it's just, you know, a happenstance. And individuals with Down syndrome, the opportunities and their growth has been tremendous over the last 20, 30 years. Our members, in the beginning, they may have some medical conditions that need to be addressed. About 50% of our babies have a heart issue, mm-hmm. but the medical technology is there to correct that. Cognitive ability, it is individualized. Our members do need support and extra time to learn skills, but there's no reason why they can't be a very active student in their typical school with accommodations. We have folks, in fact, especially for our businesses listening, we have a very robust career solutions program. We've employed over 64 individuals in very diverse work situations. So our members can be a contributing employee. Actually, they can be star employees. We have one young man that works at a local sporting goods store, and he's been named the salesman of the month 3 months in a row. Wow. He's an Eagle Scout, and he knows his camping, and he loads those customers up. And so, with the proper supports, and that's why we are so fortunate in this community that we have the support that we can grow our services from the very first moment that families learn of the diagnosis. We're mm-hmm. there, and we walk the families through lifelong learning and make sure that they have the proper support.
And you've got this great facility out here. What kind of things go on here? I mean, do the people with Down syndrome come here for what, classes or
education?
Or what kind of
that is, you know, if I had to sum it up in one word, education is, you know, our mission, both for our members, families, and community providers.
Okay.
Literally, we start very, very young. We're a First Steps provider. Those services for the young children up till age 3, we go to their homes. And then we invite them in about 18 months for group therapy, and the parents come with them. Then our toddlers come for a communication class. We also have another location in New Albany, too. Okay. So for any Indiana folks, we have similar services, not to the scope that we have here,
sure.
but very similar. Then once the children reach school age, that's when we really work in partnership with the local schools, but we provide enrichment. So today, we're having our open house, and our families are coming in for their summer enrichment program for 6 weeks because we want our members to retain those skills they've worked so hard for.
Okay.
Then school age, we go into that wonderful middle school, that what we call the tweeners, and we have social programs so they can practice those social graces. You know, hormones
sure.
come right on time. Maturity
yeah.
sometimes, maybe not so
yeah.
much.
Down syndrome doesn't affect that.
And that's exactly right. So then we start a class for our high schoolers called Steps to Independence, and we prepare them for independent life. We're also looking at career exploration. Mm-hmm. And then once our individuals leave their public school experience, whether it's at 18 or 21, you know, they have that choice, then we're working really hard on establishing a community job for them.
Okay.
And then the education doesn't stop. In fact, the room we're in, this is one of our tutoring rooms, and we utilize community volunteers, and they come in once a week with a particular member, and they are going to work on those skills.
Wow.
And we have, at this time, 71 pairs. So that means I have 71 volunteers.
Really?
You don't have to be a teacher.
I'm curious, how many total people are served? How many have Down syndrome in this area?
Well, we, on our database, which, you know, we know there's others that maybe we haven't reached because mm-hmm. we're only a 35-year-old organization, we have about 1,200. And then
wow.
for direct services this summer, which is our busy time, we will be touching close to 225 individuals on a intense basis.
Well, you're certainly doing great work out here. I want to remind people that the you can still get tickets for the golf event on June 27th. And later this fall, you have a big walk, right?
Oh,
you can
my goodness,
tell me very
yeah.
briefly about that.
Yeah, September 24th, and it's like the big family reunion. We have over 3,000 individuals that are there, and the tone of the day is celebrating our members. Wherever they are in their development, it's like, yes, we did it. And we would love to have more community involvement. So if you're involved in a community organization, or if you want to do some team building within your company, I tell you, you will leave Waterfront Park with the biggest smile on your face. So just contact me here at Down Syndrome of Louisville, and I'd love to get your company signed up for a team.
And it's time for our Ask the Mayor segment with Mayor Bill Dearif, brought to you each week by the City of J-Town. And this week's question for Mayor Dearif is this. I understand that J-Town is interested in the health of its citizens, and I know you've got a bunch of projects in the works to involving bike paths in the city.
Over 10 years ago, the city developed a bike path throughout the city, whether it was in the business park or through the neighborhoods, and we continue connectivity. Now the connectivity is even going farther. We've secured a grant that will pay for a study to find out how we can connect our city to 21st century parklands out past the Gene Snyder. The first thought was to go straight out Taylor Road, and if they start widening Taylor Road, that we would have a plan already in place for a bike and ped path. But once we start getting into it, the conversation is, where do you want to connect to the parklands? Do you want to connect where there's the rough riding? Do you want to connect where the splash park is? Do you want to connect where the volleyball is? So the study will find out the best method. The study will find out if we can kind of connect to Black Acre as we go out, or can we do a scenic view as we go out? So it's more study than just how can we go straight out Taylor Road. So the interest we have now is how can we connect Jefferson Town to the cities and the county beyond us, and how can we connect the parklands out to the city of Jefferson Town for the future.
All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
This episode of the Jefferson Town Chamber Podcast is sponsored by Signorama Louisville East and the City of Jefferson Town.
This is the Jefferson Town Chamber Podcast with Sadiqua Reynolds.
Thank you for saying my name right, Rick. Thank you.
All right, well, I'm happy to be down here at the Louisville Urban League. Where are we at? 15th and Broadway?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a great facility here, very impressive. And we're here to talk to you, Sadiqua, because you're coming out to J-Town with a big event, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So thank you for being here. Thanks for coming to the league. I really do appreciate that. We will be having a career fair on Wednesday, June 29th at the Jefferson Town Community Center between 10 and 3. And so we're really excited to be coming down. We've got about 50 employers coming. Everybody's hiring. So if you need a job, you need to get down to that Jefferson Community Center, most definitely.
50 employers. Give me an idea who some of those people are, because I don't have an idea of what kind of jobs will be offered and what kind of employers will be there.
Absolutely, all kinds of jobs. Norton Healthcare, JCPS is going to be there, Securitas, Republic Bank, U.S. Bank, Home Instead, Senior Care, Louisville East. So you name it, they're going to be there. I mean, there are so many opportunities for employment right now in our city, and we really want to make sure that we get people who are unemployed or underemployed connected to these employers, because this is good stuff.
Okay. So I guess these people, anybody that's like you say, underemployed, unemployed, looking for a job, can go out there and may walk away with a new job. Right?
Absolutely, and they need to come professionally dressed, have those resumes ready. I mean, just be ready to roll. Act like you're going in for an interview. Put your best foot forward. We've even arranged for some free TARC pickup, so there should be no barriers. I know childcare sometimes can be an issue, but I hope people can make arrangements by Wednesday to have the kids taken care of so they can come on out and see us.
And it's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., so there's plenty of time. How much time you think someone should plan to spend at this event?
So if it were me and I didn't have a job at all, I'd plan to spend all day, quite frankly. I'd be there early and I'd stay late. But I know people do work. Some people, like I said, they're underemployed. And so you just spend as long as you can. You know, some people will come in and they want to hit a specific employer. They know what they want. They're excited about seeing that person. And maybe they do that and they leave, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's somebody who won't stay for very long. But you might surprise yourself if you walk around a little bit and get to know some other people, make some contacts. I think there's never any downside to making contacts. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. And these jobs, I know the event is coming to Jeffersontown, but they're certainly the jobs aren't restricted to Jeffersontown. Why do you choose to have the job fair out?
Part of the city. Interesting. We have one downtown here at the. We just did one at the convention center. We had about 700 applicants actually, and then we've also started doing career fairs here at the Urban League once a week, you know, just highlighting a particular employer. And so this one in J-Town is just, again, to move into a different part of the community, to say to folks, you know, we're here. And we want people to understand, while we are based in West Louisville, we support the entire community. So the Louisville Urban League really does belong to the city of Louisville. So we want to serve everybody who lives in Louisville Metro. That's what we're here for. And so this is just another sign of that.
Sure. Well, I know a lot of what you do here at the Urban League has to do with employment. What, just in general, what do you think, the roadblocks are for people who can't find jobs? I don't know if transportation, childcare, those kind of things make it tough for people to get to work sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it seems like the demand for workers is really high right now.
The demand for labor is very high in most industries right now. And you're right, childcare is a significant barrier. So it's very difficult for someone to imagine taking, let's say, a $10 an hour job, and then they have to pay for childcare, which is going to cost more than, you know, there are just so many things that play into that. Transportation, for you and I, we probably got up this morning and got in our cars. I certainly did. I think I saw you pull up in a car as well.
I have
taken the bus, but it was always at my choice, you know, because it was convenient or something like that. So when you don't have those things, you sort of take for granted. Let me say this. When you do have them, you take it for granted. You think that everybody else does. And so so transportation, I'm sorry,
That's okay.
Let me answer that again, please, because I think it's important.
Yeah.
Transportation is a very big issue. Child care is a very big issue. Sometimes other family issues, you know, sometimes people are caring for their parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. The other thing, quite frankly, is we have some folks who have criminal records, and Kentucky for a long time has not allowed the clearing of those records, so pardoning or restoration of civil rights. I mean, certainly you could go and be pardoned, but that's a long and arduous process. But even restoration of criminal rights. So we may have somebody who was convicted of something 15 years ago, and they're still struggling to gain employment. So those are some of the things that we really do have to be intentional about and work on. And so hopefully what the Urban League does is help people to deal with some of those challenges, help to find some sort of alternatives so that those are not barriers. Because the reality is we need every able-bodied person in this community to be employed, to have hope. You know, and so it's like you can't have a successful J-Town or a successful prospect and think that, you know, West Louisville can just, you know, go to pot and the city's going to be fine. It just doesn't work that way. You know, West Louisville's got to thrive. Newburgh's got to thrive. J-Town's got to thrive. Middletown's got to thrive. We need all parts of our city, everybody in those parts of the city really engaged. And so we're here to help with that. And we really try hard to help with wraparound services. We do a good job. We're only going to get better. There obviously are some improvements that need to be made, but the first thing is just recognizing what some of those challenges are for people.
And when you say wraparound services, you mean?
I mean social services. I mean, so sometimes it's just a referral for child care, you know, for cost-effective child care or for good child care, because sometimes people, I don't know, sometimes you feel like because people are poor, does somebody think that they don't love their children as much as somebody else does, that they want to send their child to some facility that you know, isn't top notch. I mean, nobody wants to do that. We all love our children. So we try to make good referrals, you know, again, with the jobs. We try to do budget counseling because some people haven't necessarily had the opportunities that you and I might have had. And so how can we help them really be prepared for tomorrow? And that's the big thing about the league. We really do try very hard to be a holistic organization so that someone could come in, be underemployed or unemployed, secure the job, come back then, go to the counseling, get the budget classes, come back for home ownership classes, you know, get help with down payment assistance, and actually be able to buy a home. So now you're talking about wealth building. Now that's a whole different thing. And so really, how do we help pull people out of poverty? That's what the league is really all about. Okay. Jobs, education, health, housing, with justice throughout.
Okay. Well, great. Sounds like a great mission. I wanted to ask you a little bit before we go about yourself, because I know you've been here like less than a year.
Yeah.
And previously you worked for our mayor, Mayor Fisher. And tell me about that and the transition.
Well, I worked for the mayor for about 6 years. I was the chief for community building. I had a whole bunch of agencies, lots of people, about 1,500 people, and I sat on a few boards. I was never busy. No, I'm just joking. I was extremely busy all of the time. But it was a fun job, and this transition is wonderful. I think that there are times when you don't necessarily, you just sort of do what you're doing, and then you, for me, a job like this opens up, and you understand clearly that God has his hand in everything. So because of that position and other positions that I've had in my life, I feel like I'm so prepared for this. This is absolutely my dream job. I feel very, very fortunate to be here. I mean, this is the kind of work that I would do if I won the lottery tomorrow, you know?
Okay.
And so it's really exciting. But it definitely helped to prepare me, gave me a lot of great contacts that I can use here at the league. So, you know, I'm excited. But so, you know, I was inspector general before. I've been a district court judge. So I've had all kinds of great gigs. But this one is the one that, this is the one to die for.
Okay, this is the one. Now, how many people does the league serve? I mean, you're involved in all these different areas. How many people use the services of the Urban League?
Oh, my goodness. We've got more than 1,000 people that use the league services. And I don't even have a number in front of me, to be honest with you, because sometimes in the past it hasn't always been captured in the way that. So we might say we placed 200 people in jobs last year. But then if you think about the home ownership counseling or you think about our education programs, we've got a couple of them, Project Ready and Street Academy. So we are constantly touching folks. And then, you know, we just had a couple of community meetings. We called a meeting, and within, let's see, we gave people about 18 hours notice, had 118 people show up. You know, wow. So we're touching so many people. We want to be, we are a relevant organization. A relevant organization, and we want to be even more so.
Yeah, it's certainly been around a long time, too.
Urban League's been around a long time. 1910, national organization, and then this one was actually founded in 1920, and then incorporated in 21. So
wow. The
Urban League was created to help blacks who were moving from the south to the north to really gain the job skills that were necessary to get off the farms and sharecropping and really get into the skills that were needed in the north. And so, unfortunately, there's still a need for the league. There's still a need. And you know what? We will help anybody who comes in our doors. I mean, we definitely do not discriminate. We don't stand for discrimination. So if anybody comes in here and they need help and we can help them, that's what we're going to do.
All right. Well, before we wrap it up, let's talk about the job fair once again. It's at the J-Town Community Center next Wednesday, June 29th. And
10 to 3.
You don't have to be from J-Town or interested in working in J-Town to come to this event, right?
That's right. This is for Louisville residents. Whoever, if you live in Louisville, come on down and we can help. Matter of fact, listen, if you can hear this wherever you are or you find out about it, just come on to J-Town, to the J-Town Community Center from 10 to 3. That's located at 10617 Taylorsville Road. We will be there. There'll be a bunch of employers. There are jobs available and we need you.
Thanks for listening to the Jeffersontown Chamber Podcast, brought to you by Signorama Louisville East and the City of Jeffersontown. Tune in every week with Rick Redding as he spotlights the awesome community of Jeffersontown, Kentucky.